Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 14th. Weather pattern to see big shift Friday. Multiple rounds of rain, weak storms, and colder temperatures are aiming for West Texas. This was written by Anthony Franz, newsroom meteorologist. A very unsettled weather pattern is taking shape across Texas, and it will mean significantly cooler weather and something West Texans don't see too often, rain. Even more rare, West Texas is looking at daily chances of showers and weak storms Friday and through the weekend as a low-pressure system stalls out in the desert southwest. Thursday's forecast. Before the changes arrive, one last warm, sunny day is expected on Thursday in West Texas. It'll be a cool start as morning low temperatures fall to the upper 40s and low 50s throughout the Permian Basin. They'll rise steadily after that, reaching 60 degrees by 10 a.m. and the low 70s by noon. Afternoon highs will rise to the upper 70s, between 77 and 79 degrees in Midland, Odessa. Bright sunshine is expected, and wind speeds will be abnormally low, between 5 to 10 miles per hour. Get outside and enjoy it before major changes come crashing in. Cold front Friday morning. The light winds will be rudely interrupted Friday morning as a cold front moves through Midland, Odessa early in the morning. By the time you're heading out for the day, wind speeds will rise to 20 to 25 miles per hour as temperatures fall to the 40s. Be sure to bring an umbrella, too, because the first batch of showers looks to arrive Friday morning and into the early afternoon. It's not expected to be heavy, as Friday's rainfall will likely only result in 1 to 2 tenths of an inch. Temperatures will stay chilly throughout the day, as highs only reach the low to mid-50s. That's about 20 degrees below average for mid-March. Daily rain chances. A low-pressure system is expected to stay nearly stationary and spin over the desert southwest through the weekend and early next week. This will result in additional rounds of showers for West Texas Saturday through early next week. This will not be an absolute soaker. Instead, West Texas is looking at off-and-on light showers for the next several days. In addition, rain likely won't fall every day. Rather, there will be about a 30 to 50% chance of rain each day Saturday through early next week. Thankfully, no severe storms are expected. Overall rainfall totals will generally stay light, but here in West Texas, we'll take what we can get. Between Friday and Tuesday, the National Blend of Models, or NBM, depicts that between 0.3 and 0.5 inch of rain can be expected in Midland, Odessa. Higher rainfall totals are expected in Central and East Texas, where 1 to 3 inches are possible in the same time frame. Temperatures stay cool. During this rainy, cloudy stretch of weather, high temperatures will stay 10 to 15 degrees below average. Highs will likely be in the upper 50s to low 60s each day from Saturday through Tuesday. Low temperatures will be chilly, but will stay well above freezing in the 40s, so there is no chance of snow in the Permian Basin. Warmer and drier weather is expected to return by the middle or second half of next week, depending on how quickly the low-pressure system moves off to the east. Fleeing driver shot by police. Officer placed on administrative leave amid Ranger's probe. The story was written by Scott Nunn, staff writer. A Midland police officer is on administrative leave after shooting a fleeing suspect in the back early Wednesday morning. The incident stemmed from a traffic stop conducted in Southwest Midland at 1:06 a.m. Wednesday. According to a city press release, two officers were conducting the stop in the 3600 block of Bankhead Highway. Quote, during the stop, the driver, who had a gun in his pocket, started to flee, the initial press release reads. An officer fired shots, and the driver suffered a gunshot wound to the back, end quote. The city sent out an additional release later in the day, stating the suspect was not armed. The driver was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital for treatment. His condition was not noted in the release. According to the city, Texas Rangers are investigating the incident and the officer is on administrative leave per department policy. Under Texas Penal Code Section 9.51, peace officers are granted the authority to use deadly force under certain circumstances. Deadly force against a fleeing suspect is generally permissible if the officer believes the force is necessary to prevent the suspect's escape and the officer believes the suspect has committed a felony, poses a significant threat of death or serious injury to the officer or others, or if the suspect is actively resisting arrest or attempting to evade arrest by flight. From oil man to actor. Midland musician to star in show by Yellowstone creator. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Ashton Aguilar went from working in West Texas oil fields to portraying one on Taylor Sheridan's new show, Landman. Aguilar is from Pecos and now lives in the Midland area. The 27-year-old spent 8 years working in West Texas oil fields. Recently, he was cast as a background oilman in Landman, a show set to come out from Paramount Network. IMDb describes the program as a modern-day tale of fortune-seeking in the world of West Texas oil rigs. Sheridan, Landman creator, also created the show Yellowstone, among other shows and films. Aguilar has been making music for 11 years. The opportunity on the show came about when a casting agent contacted him on his Instagram account, complimenting his look and charisma, and encouraging him to investigate the opportunity to be in the show. Aguilar put together a portfolio of headshots and a profile to be presented to the show's crew. From there, he waited about a week and received an email saying he was cast in the show. Quote, I was on my way to Amarillo because my grandma had gotten sick. Amarillo's about 4.5 hours away in the panhandle. Halfway there, I got the email that I had to be in Fort Worth that next day, and that's like another 5 hours west, he recalled. Aguilar said he traveled a 960-mile round trip in 2 days to get to set. He said the excitement began to settle in when he started the trek to Fort Worth. The show is filmed just outside the Dallas-Fort Worth area. His first time on a television set, Aguilar marveled at the intricacies and set design of a major network production. The former oil man said there were some similarities between the television set and the real thing, mainly the morning call time. Landman oilmen wake up at 5 a.m., engage in morning meetings, throw on their flame-resistant outfits, and get ready to be shuttled to their filming location. Quote, it's a surreal feeling because it was the same time in the morning, but 2 years before that, I was actually getting up at 4:30 a.m. in a man camp waiting with the other guys. Now everybody's just actors, he said. Aguilar believed a majority of background oilmen in the show were or had worked in a real oil field at some point. Aguilar can now add television experience to a creative life that includes over a decade of making music. Growing up in West Texas, he says his family ignited his creative spark. Quote, my mom was real creative in the space of, like, she was always drawing, and she was really big on arts and crafts, always drawing, always making stuff, decorating the house. I have a godbrother that was in the music industry on the Spanish side, and he's been in that since he was like 12 until right now, he said. Aguilar mentioned his grandfather's carefully designed a Green Bay Packers-themed man cave when he talked about growing up in a family that valued creativity. He said his mother has home videos of him sitting in a rocking horse at 4 years old, singing Toby Keith songs. Aguilar describes his music as country rock, and he takes inspiration from artists like Post Malone and Johnny Cash. On the set of Landman, Aguilar's experience performing music in front of live audiences has helped him. He said he's able to flip the switch into performance when the director yells action. Aguilar is also a husband and father. He said his daughter is becoming increasingly interested in entertainment, and if he appears in final cuts of the show, it will be a fun experience for his kids to be able to see their father on television. Aguilar says he hopes to inspire others, especially from West Texas, to take chances and seize opportunities when they present themselves. Infants from same area diagnosed with botulism. The story was written by Carlos Nogueros Ramos from the Texas Tribune. Two newborns living with their families in the same West Texas neighborhood were earlier this year diagnosed with botulism, a rare and in some cases fatal illness caused by a toxin that attacks the body's nerves. The families, who live within blocks of each other, learned of the diagnosis in mid-January and early February. A third newborn in the same neighborhood was previously diagnosed with botulism, which can cause difficulty breathing and muscle paralysis in August. Hospitals in Lubbock treated the three infants. Local and state health officials said the types of botulism were different in each case, eliminating the need to issue an alert to others in the area, a decision which left the three families alarmed about the well-being of neighboring households with newborns. Quote, this isn't a one-off, this isn't the flu, said Jana Bowman, mom to one of the infants. Families need to know what it looks like so that they don't have another baby sitting at home for 8 hours when they could have been getting care, end quote. Two common ways infants contract botulism are through the environment and food. The Midland Health Department has not confirmed the cause of the exposure to the toxin that infected the three children, according to a spokesperson. However, the spokesperson ruled out food. Quote, for many infant botulism cases, the specific source is never identified due to the fact that it can be environmental, usually via dust that is stirred up due to windy conditions, construction around the home, or through contact with parents who work outdoors, the spokesperson said. Based on our investigation, we do not believe the source to be foodborne, end quote. Cases involving infant botulism can't be prevented, quote, because the bacteria that causes the disease is in soil and dust, according to the Centers for Disease Control. There are 215 cases reported nationwide in 2019. The most recent year data was available. more than 70% were infants. Texas had the third highest number of infections that year, reporting 12 cases. California reported 43 cases, followed by 17 in Pennsylvania. In Texas, once a doctor suspects botulism, the hospital sends samples to Austin for laboratory testing, which can take 2 to 14 days to complete. The state notifies the local health department, and in the case of infants, the Infant Botulism Center in California, the only agency in the country carrying an antidote. In 2023, Texas documented 12 cases of infant botulism, about one a month, the highest in a 4-year period, according to data obtained by the Texas Tribune. In the previous 3 years, the state averaged 10 cases, said Kenneth Davis, manager for food and waterborne diseases and high-consequence infections at the Texas Department of State Health Services. In late February, Texas had already documented 4 cases in 2024, a spokesperson told the Tribune. 2 of those are the Midland cases. Jana and Foster Bowman's 4-month-old contracted botulism at the end of January. Usually strong and sturdy, their baby went limp. He wouldn't eat or move. While they bathed him one evening, they sat by the bathtub feeling uneasy. Foster Bowman insisted on taking the baby to the hospital. Jenna, who was a pediatric nurse in Lubbock before moving to Midland, already had a hospital in mind. They drove up. The next day, the hospital intubated the baby. Initially, Jenna argued against the botulism diagnosis. "It's such a rare disease," she remembers saying, and she had only ever breastfed him. "It didn't make sense," she said, but before they began conducting tests, the hospital had already requested the antitoxin without a confirmed diagnosis. The next morning, doctors administered the medicine, and the baby began to recover. Common cases of infant botulism include those spurred by ingesting honey or from the air-sealed can, said Salvador Baeza, a chemical toxicologist and director of the West Texas Poison Center, an agency serving 36 counties. Once botulism toxins find their way into the human body, they shock the nervous system, working downward from the head, slowly paralyzing the infant's ability to move, said Jennifer Zhang, a family physician at UT Health East Texas, who has treated cases of infant botulism. "Children should get tested within hours," she said. Karen Mapolitano and Brandon Dyke spent 30 hours in and out of a Midland emergency room searching for answers when their baby got sick in January. Their baby had stopped eating and his body was limp. After several rounds of additional testing, the hospital told the couple they could not handle their case. On the way to Lubbock, 119 miles north, Dyke drove. The ride was quiet. Quote, "I was thinking every scenario you could think of," Apolitano said. Dyke tried to keep the worry at bay, but peeled at his skin. At 10 days old, the baby had barely been home. Once in Lubbock, the doctors recommended the botulism antitoxin without a diagnosis because of the baby's symptoms. 2 weeks later, the doctors confirmed the diagnosis. The baby had botulism. By then, the baby had recovered. Quote, "It was definitely stressful," said Dyke. "We were just trying to figure out what was going on, just hoping everything was okay," end quote. Rebecca Lenahan had gone through a similar ordeal months earlier. One August morning, Lenahan's newborn abruptly stopped eating, she said. The next morning, the family pediatrician referred them to the local hospital in Midland, where medical teams there hooked the baby to an IV to prevent dehydration. Hours later, a nurse held him up, noticing the body was limp. She alerted the doctor, who later arranged a transfer to a Lubbock hospital. Her doctor suspected her weeks-old newborn had infant botulism. The diagnosis last August triggered a series of rapidly compounding events. There were no treatment options in Midland. That night, a thunderstorm forced the hospital to cancel an emergency helicopter and dispatch an ambulance instead, shuttling Lenaham's infant to Lubbock. Doctors at a Lubbock hospital administered the antitoxin after intubating the baby for 3 days. They requested the medicine through an overnight delivery without a sure diagnosis. Lenaham replays the night she sat in the back of the ambulance. Quote, "I'm just sitting there holding my baby and praying that he doesn't die before the ambulance gets there," Lenaham said. Before the infections, the families did not know each other, even though they frequented the same park and drove by the same elementary school, mall, and football field. Sometimes they'd stroll through the same park. They met after Lenaham's pediatrician told her another family had a newborn who was infected with infant botulism. The families now meet periodically to share their stories and brainstorm how to alert their neighbors. Jana Bowman spends her free time raising awareness about her experience, heading from one doctor's office to the next. She hopes other families won't go through what she did. But she can only do so much, she said. Quote, "I'm just a mom," end quote. This article originally appeared in the Texas Tribune. The Texas Tribune is a member-supported, nonpartisan newsroom informing and engaging Texans on state politics and policy. Learn more at texastribune.org. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 14th. Trina Gilmore Brady, age 65 of Midland, passed away on Saturday, March 9th. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 16th at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Trina was born on March 5th, 1959 in Midland to Matt and Lena Faye Gilmore. She married Michael Brady at age 22. For the last 25 years, she has enjoyed and kept busy as the bookkeeper and production clerk for the family business. Trina was preceded in death by her daughter, Clara, and her parents, Matt and Lena Faye. Trina is survived by her husband, Michael, son, Brian, and his wife, Ashley, their 3 grandchildren, her sister, Peggy Buck, and husband, Steve Buck, as well as many cousins, nieces, and nephews. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Cure SMA at www.curesma.org. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Lou Hall, 96-year-old resident of Manor Park in Midland, died Saturday, March 9th. She was born July 24th, 1927, in Indianapolis, to Donis and Pauline Winiger. Mary Lou grew up in Indiana, and after attending Purdue University, married her college sweetheart, David Anton. After Dave's death, she married Alvin Hall. Together, they lived in Salem, Oregon, and eventually moved to Midland. Mary Lou volunteered throughout her life at church, school, and in the community. She is survived by her son, Doug Anton, of Rapid City, South Dakota, her daughter, Sue Einspar, of Rochester, Minnesota, and her daughter, Mary Beth Anton, of Midland, as well as 6 grandchildren and 1 great-granddaughter. Also surviving her are her beloved sister-in-law, Yvonne Anton of Aurora, Colorado, 2 nieces, and 1 nephew. Her memorial service will be held Saturday, March 16th at 11 a.m. in the chapel of the First Presbyterian Church. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorials be directed to Hospice of Midland at 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland, 79701, or the charity of the donor's choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Rosa Mora, age 80, of Midland, passed away on Monday, March 11th. Viewing will be Thursday, March 14th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral Mass is set for Friday, March 15th, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 14th. X fails to show at family funeral. Dear Abby, my mom passed away recently, and the person I was in a relationship with from adolescence to my adulthood, Charles, didn't attend her funeral. While I'm currently in a relationship with someone else I deeply love, I still feel my mother was fond of Charles despite our many hardships. Her affection for him showed without a doubt, many times without my involvement. Despite my resentment toward Charles, it never swayed her opinion of him. I no longer speak to Charles. This pattern was well set before Mom's death. Because she cared for him, I think it was wrong of him not to show up to pay his respects, regardless of what our situation currently is. For the record, I didn't attend either of his parents' funerals because Charles liked to gaslight and cause drama. Now that I'm no longer a teenager, I see him for who he really is. I thought I was in love at the time, but I realize now that I was still in the age of innocence. While I no longer want him in my space or life, I still feel his not attending was selfish and pathetic. Are my feelings valid? Signed, Morning in Missouri. Dear Morning, please accept my sympathy for the loss of your dear mother. That said, the time has come to let go of your relationship with Charles. You wrote that you no longer want him in your life, yet you cling to your resentment of him. Funerals are for the living. The deceased are past the point of knowing if someone attends or not. Charles may have stayed away because he knows you dislike him and feel unwelcome. Scrub him out of your head and stop living in the past. As the late Ely Wiesel once pointed out, the opposite of love isn't hate, it is indifference. Dear Abby, my girlfriend's 36-year-old son refuses to work. He has every excuse in the book. No job is just right for him. Without any education or training, he expects to make $20 per hour. Even then, he either quits or gets fired. He has lived off family for all of the 5 years I have known him. He couldn't find a job even part-time last year and never paid rent. We were forced to move. Now we are in a 55-plus community that does not allow children, and her son is hiding in the living room and porch. He has created a cell for himself. If discovered, the community can evict us. How do we get him out? Signed, Prison for All in Florida. Dear Prison for All, the son is 36 and hiding in a cell he has created for himself. Is he mentally disabled, taking drugs? After 5 years, it's time you and your girlfriend formed a united front and gave her son a deadline by which to find a job and move. After that deadline, he can couch surf with friends if necessary. Then cross your fingers and pray the management of the community in which you live doesn't catch on to what's been going on, or you and your girlfriend may be looking for another home as well. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.